This is the Empty Stands Podcast.
On the Empty Stands Podcast, I'm shivering because I'm cold. It's cold outside. And Cole Palmer just scored 4 goals against Everton. Albert, how are you doing?
It's glad to see you happy. It's been a while since I've seen you this happy this season. So I'm really happy that you're happy. So I'm happy that you're happy. So yeah, that's good.
Thank you, that's my really brother. Good. Thank you so much. But yeah, man, it was a good result for Chelsea. And I just want to ask you, Albert, you know, what are your thoughts on Cole Palmer? You know, you've seen him, you know, really push this season, leaving Manchester City, coming to Chelsea. Chelsea team that is struggling. But he has just been that one bright light at Chelsea this season. What are your thoughts on this player? Ballon d'Or?
Let's not push it, but he's arguably the best signing of the season. Literally, he's the best signing of the season. Still a sad one that Man City could let him go. I think Pep should have really thought about it before letting such an amazing player go. But yet, the football business is one that still baffles some of us sometimes. He's one of those players that you see that contributes by assists and also scores at the same time. Right now, no one would have ever thought that he'll be in the goal the top goal scorer conversation right now. Now he's head to head with Haaland with 20 goals in the Premier League, and that is really exciting for a young player like himself. We actually saw the tussle in the game between him and Jackson.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that whole thing? Like, I was really pissed off, and I was shouting at my TV, like, because I blame the manager. The manager is just being a proper dickhead. Like, they've asked him this question multiple times this season. Who is the penalty taker? And he'll tell you, let the players decide. Are you mad?
Nah. Who is the penalty taker? I think everyone knows that right now. Like, the viewers know that right now. But on the pitch, whoever decides has to come from the captain himself. I think the captain knows who the penalty taker is. And from that point, you can know that with pure leadership. And I think that comes from Gallagher. He should be able to detect who actually takes the penalty, even if the person that has the most goals on the pitch is currently there. So it's one of those things that needs to be decided also. And right now, seeing the fact that Palmer is in that conversation for top goal scorer, I believe that it is fair that he takes
the
penalty. I think it's fair. It takes the penalty, like, right?
When the goalie boots race here, man, what's all this? Nonny Maduke was getting emotional. You know, Jackson was just behaving like a mad person. And do you know the worst part? What actually pissed me off about the whole issue was Cole Palmer was fouled. He was on the floor, right? The ref gave a penalty. And then and I think Gusto had the ball at first. And Gusto was kind of like doing PA work. He was holding the ball for Cole Palmer, but then, you know, Nonny and Jackson were fighting, they're dragging. And in all of this, Cole Palmer was still on the floor. So it's not even a case of, oh my God, this is our best player. Our best player could actually be seriously injured. It's, oh, I want a penalty. I want to score. Like, what the hell is that?
Let's not forget the fact that they are young players and there's a need for someone with strong leadership skills to actually guide that ship. And I don't blame them for being hungry to score, literally. Everyone is hungry to make an impact in the team. But in the grand scheme of things, your best player needs to take that. Despite the fact that it's an Everton team that is really down in the dirt right now, that doesn't change the fact that players are still hungry. But the right decision has to be made on who to take the penalties. But I'm glad that Palmer took the penalties. Right now, he's 20 goals in the season on the Premier League, along with Haaland, that isn't wearing his scoring boots at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a tough season for Haaland. Yeah. I don't know whether it's down to like very high standards or, you know, poor form. But I think, yes, he has missed chances. He's not as clinical as last season, but then he's still scoring goals. His team is top of the Premier League. So that should still count for something. I think people should lay off his back a bit.
That should count for something. But if you remember the game against Luton, the first chance he had that ricocheted on the first chance he had, the one-on-one he had with Kaminski, he literally played the ball on Kaminski. It was the second chance that he ricocheted the ball on the defender, on Hashioka. That's when the ball got into the net. So it wasn't one that was actually clear, because it was a clear true pass from De Bruyne, and he was clear on goal. I think he has lost a bit of his confidence in putting the ball behind the net, and that's one thing that he needs to regain again. So hopefully he does that. But right now it's a tight race, and if we're looking at top goal scorers, we see the likes of Ollie Watkins right behind him. Cole Palmer literally is just scoring either braces or hat tricks. That's what he's doing right now. So, braces or hat tricks. Then Isak is taking his time. And, like, Isak has 17 goals this season. Like, so we've seen, even Mohamed Salah is fourth, but he's not in his most prolific form this season, having 17 goals. But yeah, hopefully we hope that we're looking forward to seeing how far this race gets and who can close the gap and who can overtake who. But yeah, it'll be nice to see more goals this season.
Yeah, it's good to be nice to see more goals. And looking forward to Cole Palmer pushing and maybe nicking the golden boots. Yeah, that would be a very good story. But he's just been fantastic this season, and credit to him for all that he has achieved. We talked about Man City, so maybe we'll just, touch on them a bit more. We saw that 5-1 convincing victory against Luton. Are you convinced now? Because I know you've tipped Arsenal a few times, but are you convinced now that City just have, a bit more and should be winning the Premier League?
Like, we see this every time. We see that the Premier League boils down to resilience. And we see the most resilient team actually pushes forward. And Man City, they don't want to lose that plot. They want to keep going. They have the manpower to do it. Pep understands what the trophy means to him. And he's not just going for the Premier League. He's also going for the Champions League. So it's the winner's mindset. And that's one thing that not every team has. And we saw that this week on how teams played. So many top teams lost the plot. Like, so many top teams in their own race for top four, race for European football, race for the league table, the winning the league. Lots of teams lost the plot. But Man City understands that. And that boils down to the mindset and the quality of players that you have on the pitch. Like I said, Man City, they have formidable players at every point of the pitch. Like, even up to the fact that, last week we saw Vardiol score an amazing goal in the Champions League. He still came back this weekend. And scored an amazing goal. He did all over again. And he didn't just score the goal. Like, he had so many efforts from that point. Like, and scoring, putting the keeper under pressure. And I saw that happen. And I was so keen that he was going to score. Like, literally, I had my fingers crossed that, okay, Vardiol was going to score, and he actually did score. So it's one of those things that everybody in the Man City team is contributing to the success, whoever you are. Even if you come from the bench, like, whoever you are, you have to contribute to the success. And I believe Pep has translated his idea of how to win to the players, and they are holding firm to that philosophy. So, yes.
Yeah, it does seem like they have a bit more. Talking about losing the plot, because you did mention that we saw some teams lose the plot. Let's talk about Spurs. Going into that game against Newcastle, I was not expecting that result. But then Alexander Isak showed us why he's in that conversation for the Golden Boots. He seems like a quality player. He seems like Newcastle got it right when they signed him. What are your thoughts on him as a player and also Newcastle as a whole? As Eddie Howe, you know, looked at his watch and felt like, okay, I need to save my job right now. And now he's getting results such as these.
You know, I think with good investment comes the idea of, or comes that enforcement of getting good players and good young players that fit the philosophy of the manager. And Isak is one that has been a very positive signing for Newcastle, despite the fact that they had other players. They have the likes of Colin Wilson as also a top striker. I think, but right now, the fact that Colin Wilson is injured, Isak has stepped up and he's providing the right goals for Newcastle United. I didn't expect the game to go in Newcastle's favour all the way, but because I know that the Spurs are is a team that would actually go for it. And if you give the, if you score two goals, they'll try and put in one or two goals at the back of the net. But now we're getting to the end of the season, and maybe we can blame it on a bit of fatigue and maybe not the right mixture, not the right mix within the midfield, because we see the likes of, we see that there was a switch between having the normal midfield of Bissouma and Pap Matsa played partner together, but now we had the likes of Bentancur and Bissouma partner together. We also noticed that James Maddison hasn't been the James Maddison we knew at the start of the season, so he hasn't been back to form. And also holding that to the fact that Son still Son needs the right substitute or maybe the right person to stand in for him. I think he's exhausted. Right now, they currently don't have the right strikers. Richarlison is currently injured, so they have lots of issues within the team, and that could boil down to fatigue and players not being in the right form for that game. So, and also the fact that Newcastle is actually a formidable team. They have the right form. They have good players within the team. So yeah, that must have been very difficult for Spurs. But I didn't expect
I never expected that. Like, I was very shocked. Yeah. And Van de Ven had a terrible performance. Like, you saw the memes on Twitter. You saw him all over the floor. And you know the funny thing is, you know, we're here talking about him just last week. You know, talking about how, you know, good defender. Yeah. Very quick, scored a fantastic goal against Nottingham Forest, you know, in conversations for, you know, top defenders in the Premier League. But then he goes and has that stink of a performance. You know, it just shows how the Premier League is. One weekend, you are good. The next weekend, you are trash.
And that's the beauty of the Premier League, right? That's the beauty of the Premier League. It's very competitive.
Yeah, it's very, very crazy, man. I felt bad for Spurs fans because I know a couple of them. But, you know, I know a couple of them. But they're still in that, you know, top four, top five conversation. Just 3 points off Villa with a game in hand. So, you know, it's still very possible that Spurs nick it. What do you think?
It's tricky because Villa is, after the game with Arsenal, I think they're in high spirits. And they're in high spirit to keep pushing to the end of the season. So it's going to be difficult for Spurs to catch up with them. Like, yeah, they need a miracle. They literally need Villa to slip up. Right now, it's Villa's position to lose. Right now, it's their position to lose.
And it's a good one for Emery, you know, going to Aston Villa, getting them Champions League football. Crazy.
Unai Emery was the best signing for Aston Villa last season.
What still pains me is he got the job, I think, a month or so after Potter got the Chelsea job. And I was like, maybe we should have, if we had just gone for this guy, maybe things would have been different. But, you know, here we are, man. It's crazy. But
I think Chelsea fans don't are somewhat delusional sometimes. Like, you guys don't just own up to the fact that things are bad right now for you. You just reminisce on what could have happened.
What could have been? That's what we have going.
What could have been? But, you know,
the only time that we don't reminisce is when Cole Palmer's doing things, man. Oof. Ballon d'Or, Chelsea fans, we need to push that agenda because we have the power. We control the media. We need to push that agenda.
I believe next season, the best that Chelsea can do is to ensure that there are amazing players around Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
Get the right players around him. Build the team around him. Oh, my God.
I don't know if I trust, like, I don't Chelsea know if I trust the board ball to make the right signings, but I agree with you. Spot on. If you get the right players in around Cole Palmer.
Get the right players around him. Like, he's ready to play. He's ready to die for the badge. And we see that every week in, week out. So, yeah.
He's a special player, man. But, you know, we've talked about Spurs, and we touched on Villa a bit, but maybe let's just go a bit deeper into Villa. Unai Emery is pushing, as we've said, you know, great manager, doing a fantastic job at Aston Villa. But then when we saw that fixture of Aston Villa against Arsenal, you know, I don't think anybody was expecting it to go the way it did. You know, Aston Villa beat Arsenal 2-0, keeping a clean sheet at the Emirates, man. That's a crazy result on Emery's CV. Crazy result. What are your thoughts on that game? And I don't know why, but hopefully you can answer that for me. Arsenal fans have felt very down, and they felt like they've lost the league. Why is that?
I think it's the same story every season, right? Losing the plot just when it matters, right? Like, you want a team to win, but you also want a team to win when it matters. And Arsenal, they don't just seem to do it. They don't just seem to win when it matters. And it boils down to concentration and focusing on your game. Because I see that at the end of the season, like towards the end of, because they've been in the race, like this is second season that they've been in the race, but they stop focusing on their game and start focusing on other teams' games, right? And that's one of those things that, like, happened. Like, you can't go into... And Arsenal most likely would have felt that they were favourites to win that team, win Aston Villa. But there's so much that they had needed to figure out, that they're playing against a team that is good, against their former manager, despite the fact that they're home. But to the manager, it also felt like home to him, because the fans actually still really liked Unai Emery, definitely. So coming to the Emirates, he came there with confidence. He came to win. And Arsenal didn't actually feel like the home team. There were good chances, but they just weren't converting. And it was one of those things that you just hope that they just focused more and actually just played the game right to win it. So yeah, it's sad that they lost it. It's really sad that they lost it. I was really hoping that the team this season will give Man City a run for their money. But it seems like every team right now seems lackluster in the way they play football. So it's sad.
Speaking about Arsenal, right, and, you know, losing concentration, not delivering when it matters. There's this theory about leaving Arsenal and winning the trophy. I want to quickly touch on that, because Granit Xhaka has won the Bundesliga, Bayer Leverkusen, first time in their history. Fantastic story, still unbeaten in all competitions this season. Are you a fan of that whole sentiment that when you leave Arsenal, you win a trophy?
No, not really. I'm not. I don't think so. I think there are other players that have left Arsenal haven't won any trophy. But, like, I think when you think about Leverkusen, it's one of those things when a coach has a philosophy and gets the right players for that to play his philosophy, right? And Granit Xhaka was one that it was one that was needed in Bayern Leverkusen. So I don't think that would stand. Yeah, I believe he moved at the right time, and he moved at the right time, and I'm really happy that Bayer Leverkusen were able to secure that win. If you talk about others that moved to the Bundesliga and hoped to win,
we see Harry Kane
for the first time in a very long time, Bayern Munich didn't win the league.
But you know what the flex could be? What if Kane wins the Champions
League? What's the flex? There is no way Bayern is winning the Champions League this season.
We have it on record, Albert.
There is no way Tuchel is winning that league this season. Okay. Like, honestly. Like, and I know you'll be angry if he does.
I'll actually be happy about it, right? Because I have this thing about, you know, clubs that decided on their manager's futures very early. So another contender, and I don't like the club for anything, but another contender, another person that I want to win the Champions League is actually Barcelona and Xavi. And that's because, you know, there's already like the whole statement about Xavi leaving and all of that. Tuchel too is someone that has been, you know, told to leave, more or less. So I want one of them to win. So the club just looks at it like, I'm going to bless say we fuck up. We should have waited. That's what I just want. Because my team is not playing Champions League football. And obviously, I don't want Arsenal to win it. Obviously, I don't want Man City to win it again. So, yeah, might as well just support Barcelona or Bayern Munich and see which one can bring you home.
I'm actually happy that Xabi Alonso won't be coming to the Premier League.
Oh, yeah. Let's so that we can all rest and, you know, you think, not the one that's already be stressing us. No, we don't want stress. Pep is enough stress for us at this moment. We need to calm down. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because, you know, summer is going to be a very interesting period for a lot of, you know, Premier League clubs. And one club that is going to be interesting for is Manchester United. Some fans seem to believe that a summer clear-out is needed. You know, you need to let go of a lot of players. Are you one of those fans?
Oh, yeah. I have a list.
Please, read out your list.
I have a list. Yeah, Casemiro is top of that list. So yeah, I can read that out for you. That's totally fine. So I think first of all, like, we'll let go of Casemiro, Lindelof, Lisandro Martinez, Tyrone Malacia, Anthony Martial.
Wait, this Lisandro Rafa Martinez Varane thing that you've been saying up and up, because this is the second time you're saying it. You know I'm not in agreement. He's just like, okay, just like me as a Chelsea fan saying Chelsea should sell Reece James. Okay, yes, I kind of want that sometimes. But a part of me, inside my heart, I'm like, I don't want it. Come on.
Martinez can't play a full season, literally. Okay, he can't play a full season. Even Maguire, that is shit, like, can still play a full season.
Availability is the best ability, as they say.
Exactly. So, who else? We still have Johnny Evans has to go. Rafael Varane has to go. Casemiro has to go. Who else? Honestly, Onana is on that list, but it's just because he's here for one season. It's terrible, man. I can keep going. And we might end up getting an entire 11. Like two sets of 11 players.
No. And the manager, right? The manager is also supposed to go, right? You should follow the players.
So the only reason why I don't want the manager to leave is because, like, who is out there?
There's always somebody out there. Trust me. There's always no one. That's how we always feel like it, that, there's nobody. There's always somebody out there. Trust me. But I wanted to ask you about this guy. The whole Garnacho incident, you know, Ten Hag and Garnacho. Do you think it's fair for the manager to specifically mention Garnacho, someone that has been, you know, that young player that has stepped up at different points in the season, while the senior players have underperformed?
I think that dampens the morale of a player. Definitely dampens the morale of the player. It's unfair to actually I think this is one of the things that managers need to understand about emotional intelligence, and also accompanied with media training. There's a way you convey your message that you have to be head on, take full responsibility on whatever the outcome is on the pitch, because you're managing those players, and there's really no scapegoat to be presented within the team, because that could change the entire atmosphere in the dressing room. Because also players could feel that maybe one of these days I may be the scapegoat, so yeah, that could affect the morale within the room. So managers still need to be careful with the way they convey messages about certain mishaps on the pitch. So yeah, I think it was wrong to do that.
I agree.
It was really wrong to do that.
And not just any player, Garnacho, come on.
Yeah. At least I got 4 points from him in my FPL, so.
No, my FPL was even paining me. I woke up on, because I generally said my team, like, just before the deadline. I woke up on Saturday morning, and I was like, Salah against Crystal Palace, it's a no-brainer. I don't even want to think about anything. I don't want to complicate it. I'm not making any transfer. I just want... You know the funny thing? I wanted to bring in Eze. I swear, because there's a... He has a double game week next week. So I was like, oh, let me bring him in now. I was like, no. Salah. Liverpool will smash it like 4-0. It's going to be a clean sheet. Then, you know, Salah might pop like 2 goals. I was like, Salah. Salah blanked. And then Cole Palmer... Oh, Cole Palmer. Ballon d'Or, PFA Player of the Year, PFA Young Player of the Year, and yeah, the Ballon d'Or. You know, this European thing. Like, we need to give Cole Palmer Champions League football, because he's better than all this nonsense. No. We need to give him Champions League football. But yeah, Albert, I wanted to ask about, you know, Europa League. Speaking on Europe, you know, we saw last week, Liverpool lose 3-0 to Atalanta, you know, and we have other Premier League teams in UEFA Conference League as well and all of that. But it seems like at the business end of the season, juggling between your European commitments as well as your, you know, local commitments is proving to be a bit too much to ask. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, thinking about it, right, like, it's Thursday night football, so, and we play in the weekend. The Premier League is already has an exhausting schedule on its own. Now, adding the Europa League to it, like, without ample time to rest, is one of those things that would also ensure, we'll also see that the players are really fatigued. And we saw that clearly with Liverpool losing at home. Which was one of those things that, like, was quite surprising, because they were haunted by former West Ham striker Gianluca Scamacca scoring 2 goals and Mario Palisic scoring 1 goal in at home, and that was quite scary. I did understand what happened, but like, it just reforms that, it just keeps giving that information that maybe Van Dijk is not the best striker like we thought he was, and because the from the midfield to defense was quite porous, and there was so much lack of communication with the movements, and it didn't seem like there was a leader within the Liverpool team, so they lacked that coordination. But yeah, despite that, they lost that game, and that was the Europa League game. Also, we saw the likes of West Ham lose to Leverkusen. But in Germany. But yeah, I think if you're a betting man, you know that Leverkusen would have won that game no matter what. They're not going to have their winning streak and lose to...
I still believe West Ham David would beat. I still believe West Ham will beat them. I can't even lie. I don't know why. I have a feeling that West Ham would do it.
I don't have your feeling, but yeah. You know the Leverkusen team that were looking at, like, I doubt Xabi Alonso is just aiming.
But you know how it is with all these unbeaten records. It's always one team that you don't expect.
Yeah, but Xabi Alonso is going for glory. He's going for glory. Like right now, once Atlanta knocks out Liverpool, come on, once knocks out Liverpool, it's up to Benfica to take it, because then once you knock out Liverpool and Benfica, so it's up for Leverkusen to take it. Like once Liverpool is out of the conversation, AC Milan is out of the conversation, Marseille is out of the conversation, then you just have Benfica, Roma, Leverkusen, and Atlanta in that conversation, right? So yeah, it's up for Leverkusen, who have the current momentum of just winning the Bundesliga, to take the glory. So I believe Xabi Alonso is there for the glory right this season, and it's going to be a great high for the entire Leverkusen team, because they've really earned it, and they've worked so hard for it. But yeah, but like just to wrap up what you said, yes, Europa League Thursday night football is literally is one that can affect your chase for the Premier League, and we see that happen from time to time. But the likes of West Ham are not really aiming for anything right now. Most likely they play the Conference League next season, or they don't. But yeah, they just had a very tough matchup. I expected more from Liverpool, but let's see if there's going to be a turnaround in Italy on the second leg. But I highly
doubt that as well. And I think the manager of Atalanta, Gasperini, he's very underrated. He has been there for some years now, played good football. I remember the trio of Zapata, Ilicic, and Papu Gomez, you know, scoring goals left, right, and center. You know, he's a fantastic manager. And let's not forget that we have our Nigerian brother in that team, Ademola Lookman. Hopefully, he can bring the trophy home, because I'm looking at Osimhen that delivered for Napoli last season. I'm looking at Boniface that delivered for Leverkusen this season. And yes, you know, there's no league title for Atalanta, but, you know, if Lookman can bring something home just to boost, you know, the CV of our Nigerian players, you know, that would be something great. But, you know, final word, I'll just ask you about Liverpool again, because back-to-back losses at Anfield, you know, should they be worried? How is the farewell tour going for your club?
The farewell tour isn't going so good. It's just sad right now, because the fact that he has announced his departure, and he feels like his team are not locked in. They're not locked in. They've lost the plot. They've lost three plots right now, and they are losing the plot right now, because there are still chances to turn things around. But yeah, it's just sad, right? It's just sad. Like, honestly, looking at the Liverpool team, you just see that, yeah, once Salah is not in the team, like, there are no leaders in the team. And hopefully, the likes of Van Dijk would hope that, because he's like one of the experienced players there, we hope that he can make things happen in the team. But not to take it away from them, like during the game, they've always had like very good clear chances. I was shocked that they couldn't put one of those chances
like that
there
before. It felt like there was an angel in that Crystal Palace goal, because there were so many chances to score. Like, come on.
But when you think about Eze's goal, it felt like no one was going to press to get the ball from Crystal Palace, because it just felt like one of those things that we played in the training ground, and now we're playing
at Anfield,
on the pitch. Yeah, at Anfield.
No,
yeah.
It's crazy.
So just
it's crazy. I'm a sucker for quality managers, and Oliver Glasner is one of them. You know, he's He was the manager of Frankfurt. You know, he's a winner and a very good tactician as well. And we saw Jurgen Klopp's reaction to that goal. We're like, wow. And that was because it wasn't hoof the ball, 40 yards, your big man up front brings it down. No, they played football. Said, come on, let's play football. Touch. So everybody touched the ball. And like the movements from the wing backs for Crystal Palace, Mitchell and Munoz on the other side, like they play some really good football. I was impressed. They had a lot of luck, I'll give it to them, but I was also impressed by their play. But so,
and honestly, at some point, like during the Atalanta game, right, I was like, okay, maybe Kelleher had a bad game. And maybe they needed a keeper.
Yeah, Alisson back.
Then you had Alisson back, and you're like, okay, this is really not a keeper issue.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's just something wrong. I think there's something wrong. Could be fatigue based on the way they play. You know, it's possible.
But they have quite a good rotation. And they have quite a good rotation of players. You can't compare their rotation to certain clubs that are lacking in these areas. They have quite a good rotation for both.
But it's really not easy. Playing three games a week, trying to build that consistency, and also the way that Liverpool plays, which is that very fast, gegenpressing style of play. It's crazy, you know. It's crazy. And we are seeing it take its toll on the team. And Salah doesn't look like his normal self, man. I think I'm going to sell him.
Yeah, but right now,
what kind of rubbish starts?
So right now, I think all we can say right now it's Man City's league to lose.
Yeah, I agree.
It's Man City's league to lose. So if Man City decide that we want to lose this league, then you guys, but.
And I think if Man City says they want to lose the league, I don't know why, but I'll say Liverpool, even with all their struggles, they'll be my pick ahead of Arsenal. And that's just because they've done it before. You know, they've pushed Man City a few times. So if there's one team that can capitalize on Man City dropping points, it should be Liverpool. But we'll see how it goes.
Experience always plays a part in these things.
It does.
Yeah.
All right. So we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you to our listeners for sticking with us. We are the Empty Stands. You can follow us on Twitter at the Empty Stands and on Instagram at the Empty Stands Podcast. Do remember to like and subscribe to this video on YouTube. We promise you that we'll try to be consistent. And Albert, I think we've been doing that. We've been living up to our promise. So please.
Brownie points for us.
We'll try. And to everyone listening, stay safe and we'll see you all next week when we do the next weekend review. Take care, guys.
Awesome.